from KTOO in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea with this news.
Amazing grace.
Funeral services were held December 1st and 2nd in Juneau for 19-year-old Abby Kelly and 15-year-old Keith Brasoski Jr. They both died when the car they were in sped off the road the morning of November 21st. I sat down with Abby's parents as they reflected on their daughter's life and the turn it took in the year or so leading up to the crash. The morning after Abby's funeral, parents Cecilia Williams and Christina Vasquez flipped through photos of their daughter. From a young age into her teens, she had a huge, beaming smile.
She had dimples for days.
Williams says she had a big voice, too.
My sister used to babysit for me when I had to go to work, and Abby was just a toddler. But as soon as she walked through the door, she'd be like, Auntie Kim! Hi, Auntie Kim! And my sister would go right close to her, and Abby would still be talking loud, and my sister would be like, Abby, I'm right here. You don't need to yell. Oh, hi, Auntie Kim!
Williams says Abby graduated from Yokosuka Dakahiti High School in 2017, a year early. Her diploma and Eagle Wolf graduation sash are on the wall in the living room, along with many family photos, school projects, and artwork. Vasquez says Abby was applying to colleges before she finished high school.
Like, she was already on that road before she graduated.
I mean, she was a great kid for her whole entire life. We had normal obstacles to overcome with her, I guess you could say, as a teenager. But, like, towards the end of her graduation, she was a great kid. Like, couldn't ask for a better kid, you know?
She just chose to be more around her family than out doing things that her friends were doing. And stuff like drinking to her was... I mean, she used to say, oh, yeah, so-and-so is drinking, and they're just so dumb.
So this whole thing is just devastating. It just seems like it happened so fast. So fast, and it got out of control so fast. Like, I just don't even know how it happened.
They tried talking things through with Abby. They got her into counseling briefly. They reported a store they suspected of selling booze to her daughter and other teenagers, and eventually, tough love. Despite all that, Williams says Abby was descending into alcoholism.
When you're a child or whatever, you're an adolescent trying to figure things out and figure out who you are, yeah, sure, you're partying and you're doing some things, but it's not your everyday life. And towards the end, this is what it became. It was her everyday life.
After the crash, a friend of Abby's shared a series of videos from the night and morning of with her parents. They circulated through Snapchat and suggest the group of teenagers in the car was drinking heavily. One clip shows Abby and the others in the car. Someone's holding what looks like a bottle of whiskey. Text added to one clip asks, "Why aren't we dead?"
Apparently they almost crashed. That's why the caption is that. That's minutes before the actual crash. Like 20 minutes.
Impossible what ifs plague Williams.
And just wish that there was something else that I could have done. If I did everything right, or I don't know. Maybe if I wasn't trying to be so tough on her, maybe this wouldn't have happened, but I don't know.
Williams wants others to know to ask for help.
I just want to encourage other parents and their children, if you're struggling with alcohol, don't be scared to reach out. Don't be scared to admit it. And talk to whoever you can. Don't ever give up.
On the 12th day after the crash, Williams and Vasquez said they hadn't heard from investigators yet. They planned to meet with lawyers to explore options. Juneau Police Department spokesperson Aaron Kalwara says the crash case is still being investigated. That means interviews and a search warrant on the car itself. She says there's no set timeline and could not comment on if the liquor store that Cecilia Williams alluded to is being investigated or not. If someone you know is struggling with alcohol, you can reach out to the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. In Juneau, they're at 907-463-6817. The other two people who survived the car wreck remain hospitalized at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. On December 3rd, a hospital spokeswoman said Dylan Larson, 19, is in serious condition in the intensive care unit, and 18-year-old Tyler Watkins is in satisfactory condition. Wrangell's Evergreen Elementary has won national recognition as a distinguished school, one of only two Alaska schools selected for the honor this year. As KSDK's June Leffler reports, the award recognizes Evergreen's success at educating every student, regardless of their circumstances.
Right before Thanksgiving, Principal Jen Miller Yancey found out that her school was selected as a national ESEA Distinguished School for the Year.
I mean, I had a good feeling, but when you see it on paper, it's like, yes, this is amazing.
The acronym stands for the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. The Lyndon Johnson-era legislation was the first to provide federal funding to close the achievement gap between poor and middle-class students. The national honor is specifically for those schools that serve a large number of low-income kids and who do it well.
And we want to make sure that every child is fed, that they know they're safe, and that they are rested. And so anytime they need those basic needs taken care of, we'll help them with that as well.
This is Miller Yancey's first year as Evergreen's principal, but she's taught in the school for almost three decades. Although test scores and attendance rates are a factor in the award, there's also an interview, and Miller Yancey and her colleagues raved about some brand new programs. One of those is the new behavioral program, where students get referrals not for their disruptive behavior, but for doing the right thing.
So the students are focused more on what the desired behaviors are instead of what the undesired behaviors are that they're continually trying to do better, and they get recognized for that. It's been very effective.
Miller Yancey says that some of Evergreen's teachers and administrators will attend the national conference in Atlanta, Georgia in February to accept the award. The State Department of Education, which nominated Evergreen for the award, will contribute $5,000 to the school to help with travel expenses. In Wrangell, I'm June Leffler.
The city of North Pole is holding a meeting today aimed at encouraging residents who can no longer use their wells due to groundwater contamination to sign up for municipal water service.
The open house is not the only opportunity for them to sign up, but it is a kickoff, and it's a chance to talk one-on-one with people, submit their applications, and get the process started to get that early sign-up bonus.
City Services Director Bill Butler says the meeting marks the launch of a program that offers cash or credit incentives to people who live in the northern part of town. He says that includes a $500 bonus for qualifying residents who sign up by May 31st.
That can either be a cash payment or it can be added a credit to the utility account.
Butler says the city is also offering a $2,000 credit that will be applied to the accounts of new customers who live in that part of town where the groundwater has been contaminated by an industrial solvent that leaked from the old North Pole refinery. The city extended the municipal water system into that area last summer. The expansion project mostly is being paid for by Flint Hill Resources, a former operator of the refinery that was shut down in 2014. State of Alaska is paying for 10% of the project, which is estimated to cost around $90 million. An Alaska Native Community Airport has been unable to receive night flights or medevac flights because of disabled runway lights. Alaska's Energy Desk reported officials noticed Quinnahock's runway lights were not working properly in September. Officials say Quinnahock has closed the airport to all night flights until the end of the month and possibly longer. Officials say Quinnahock took over ownership of the airport from the state in the 1990s. An Alaska Department of Transportation spokesperson says the tribe can apply for repair funding from the state, which oversees money from the Federal Aviation Administration. An Anchorage company has fired and disciplined workers after a video showed them throwing Amazon.com delivery packages to each other in a warehouse. The video of workers at the Legacy Logistics Warehouse near Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport was posted to Facebook on Thursday and shared more than 4,000 times. The video shows employees throwing packages. Some of the parcels land on a concrete floor. Nanik Global Logistics Vice President Kim Howard has not said how many of the workers were fired, noting that various disciplinary actions have been taken. 58 mushers have signed up for the 2020 Iditarod. It promises to be a competitive field with six former champions registered to run the 1,000-mile race, along with numerous other top teams. Among the winners returning to the trail in March are Pete Kaiser of Bethel, Norwegian Jor Olsom, and Seward's Mitch Seavey. Past four-time winners Lance Mackey, Jeff King, and Martin Boozer are also signed up. So far, there are 12 rookies slated to run as well. One noticeable name missing from the roster is Dallas Seavey. The four-time champion has not competed in the Iditarod since a scandal in 2017 after four dogs on his team tested positive for a banned substance. Although race officials have since apologized for how the incident was handled. Since then, there have been substantial changes in the Iditarod Trail Committee's board and governing rules. Monday was the last day for mushers to sign up without paying a late fee. Potential competitors have until February to decide if they want to sign up. This year's trail follows the northern route for the first time since 2016, leaving Willow on March 8th and heading through Ruby, Galena, and Nulato along the way to the Norton Sound coast. Washington Governor Jay Inslee has appointed the first Native American justice to serve on the state's highest court. Judge Raquel Montoya Lewis is also the second American Indian justice in the nation. She said Wednesday that it's a privilege and responsibility to sit on the bench. Montoya Lewis will fill the final year of the Chief Justice's term, but won't take the top spot. Montoya Lewis and the new Chief Justice picked by the court will be sworn in next month. And finally, the Tennessee Aquarium is using an electric eel named Miguel Watson to light up a Christmas tree. The aquarium says a system connected to Miguel's tank enables his shocks to power strands of lights on a nearby tree. An aquarist says Miguel releases low-voltage blips of electricity when he's trying to find food. Weather forecast for tonight in numerous rain showers, snow accumulation around 2 inches. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.